Kids always want to be grown up, don't they? They wonder, when will I be an adult? When they can drink, get a driver's license, vote, get married, own a home, maybe have children of their own. All those are wrong answers. The right answer is, you grow up when you realize some people are full of shit, and all career politicians are so full of shit, they are shit. Those who fail to accept that fact will always be children. And that, at its essence, is what's gone wrong with the world, or at least the first world, the Western world. It's become overwhelmed by adult children. Let's call them kidults. No matter what their chronological age, psychologically, they remain in the 5 to 10 year old range. It doesn't matter how much money they have or how many things they've accumulated, even how many children or grandchildren they may have, those who think career politicians are a good thing are mentally deficient. Children live in make-believe worlds of assumptions. They see an adult standing in front of them in a classroom or wearing a uniform or a business suit in an office, and they assume, ooh, that's a grown-up. That person knows more than I do. They have grown-up clothes and cars and a home and maybe children, so I better listen to that grown-up, do what they tell me to do. Kidults idolize other people. One might like a person, or respect that person, or admire them, but the moment they cross into the hero, role model, idol zone, well, that's when you know you're dealing with a kidult. Some years back, there was a hugely successful ball player. His name was Mark McGwire. He was accused of using steroids. There was a big flap and a scandal about it. Funny how a pandemic puts utterly meaningless shit like that in perspective. But in the midst of this controversy, McGwire was coming off the field after fitting another ball to Jupiter when some irate father, with his young son by the hand, accosted McGwire and said,
"You are my son's role model. How could you do this to him?"
To which McGwire replied, "I'm just a ball player. Why aren't you your son's role model?" Great answer. And how awful for that kid to be burdened with a stupid kidult for a father. Kidults make similar assumptions about people that are called leaders or have some title. Mayor or governor or chief or an official. That's always a good all-purpose title for some authority figure, huh? An official. Official what? 99.99% of the time, that's an official asshole. An unaccomplished, incompetent creep comprised of equal parts bullshit and ambition. I call them ASTCOs. That's assholes seeking to control others. And anyone who wants to control other people is, by definition, an asshole. Kids live in their fantasy world of heroes and villains and leaders and role models and officials, so ASTCOs, well, they need to do very little to corral kidult votes. Just promise them some free shit. Appeal to their fear of freedom and their yearning for mommy and daddy, some role model or hero who will fix everything, and presto, you've got Hitler, Stalin, and Mao. Before each of those monsters seized power and killed a combined total of about 100 million, well, they were elbowing their way up the chain of command in various government positions. Right now, there are tens of thousands of budding dictators embedded in governments all around the world. Will they be tomorrow's Hitler, Stalin, or Mao? Who can say? But what we can say is that they are dangerous, dictatorial scum right here and right now. This episode is called Spotlight on Scum. I wanted to call it Spotlight on Piles of Shit that somehow learned to walk and talk and went into politics, but that might trip a wire at Spotify. Welcome to That Larry Show. I'm Larry. Stay with me and we'll spotlight some scum.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
The toughest part of putting together this episode is choosing from the infinite supply of political parasites. Joey, that's a bag of maggots. Biden, well, he's almost too easy. Besides, I gave him a few lumps in episode 319. You can find that in the July tab at thatlarryshow.com. And you know what? Word is out on Joey. People who know what time it is see him for the power-crazed punk that he is, and those that do not are kidults. And there's no room in their brains for truth or logic, only feelings. So let's bolt the 10 billion lumen spotlight of truth on a great big aircraft and voyage 8,000 miles west-southwest from Los Angeles to a place that was once synonymous with courage, adventure, freedom, and daring do, Australia. But now, because it appears a majority of voters are kidults who want a nanny state, well, it's become an island prison. The Premier, that's an awful title, by the way, too close to Chancellor and His Highness. The one we're going to spotlight is named Dan Andrews, and he rules over Australia's Victoria state as if he's a fucking emperor. You don't have to look too far to see what a zero Danny boy is. He's never achieved or accomplished anything in his life. Same as every other career politician. Hey, wait a minute. I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. Lest you think I'm about to unload on some hapless public servant that I just took a pick against, let's hear from the arrogant manlet himself.
So first of all, I can announce that by Friday the 15th of October, every single authorised worker that is on that authorised worker list, whether they be in Melbourne or in regional Victoria, will need to have had at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. That is, if they want to continue working.
If there's people that don't want this mandatory vaccine, how do we manage this?
Well, then they won't be going to work.
How's that for some kiss-my-ass attitude? Well, then they won't be going to work. Ooh. Remember that phrase, because as far as we can tell, Danny Boy, and that boy is spelled B-O-I, well, he's never done a real day's work in his meaningless life. Where do punks like Dan Andrews come from? Well, think back to high school. Remember the kids who were always off to the side, giving everyone creepy looks? Not only were they not quarterbacks, they couldn't even make the chess team or the mathletes or anything, mostly because they were annoying, creepy people. Then they discovered student government. A silly time suck that only the dippiest dipshits went out for. They knew then as now that apathy about government ran higher than in any other field, and no one need attract more than a few suckers and put up a few posters, and you could be elected something. Once they figured out that with zero skill or talent, they could lay claim to a title and a soupçon of authority, well, that's when they saw their career paths. Then, when they got themselves into actual government and saw the perks and the Cadillac benefits and the total lack of accountability, as well as salaries that are often way more generous than the private sector counterparts, well, they'd found a home like a tick on a hound. With the exact same purpose, to suck blood and do nothing else. Well, spew bullshit about how hard they fought for this legislation or that. They're always saying how they fight, fight, fight. But you've never seen one with a busted jaw or a fat lip, have you? No. So that's where they came from.
If there's people that don't want this mandatory vaccine, how do we manage this?
Well, then they won't be going to work.
Okay.
It's very, very simple. It's very simple. We want to open the place up. You want to? I'm not taking lectures on freedom.
So Danny Boy isn't taking any lectures on freedom. He'll do the lecturing. And the servants, that would be the people of Victoria, they damn well better listen tight. He's laying it down. running his catamite mouth with the bad teeth and tough guy talk. Not just telling it like it is, but how it's gonna be, because chinless, chestless, tex-neck Danny Boy Andrews is in control of the unfortunate citizens of Victoria, where it seems the kidults outvoted the adults. Besides being an imperious blustering puke, is Danny Boy also stupid? Has he not heard that Big Pharma fabricated term, breakthrough infection, which is just a smokescreen way of saying the vaccine, well, it doesn't always work as promised. Somehow they've gone from
100% safe and effective
to,
well, you can still spread it. You can still catch it. You can still get real sick, and if you do, you might die, but you won't die as fast.
We've actually seen those rationalizations. Yes, we have. Quick aside here, lest anyone think this show is anti-vax. It is not. What this show is pro-truth. In fact, the Patreon page clearly states that truth lives at the Take No Shit Dojo, from whence this show emanates every week. And the truth is, plenty of my friends have had the jabs with no ill effects. And if the shots protect them as was promised, that's great for them. May they live long with robust health. But when some other friends had some nasty reactions, and then two people I know were fully vaxxed and died of the Wuhan virus with no comorbidities, well, that raises two important questions. First, how often does this happen? Because I don't know scads of people. I probably know fewer people than you do. What are the odds that two of them contract the virus and die, even though vaccinated? And the second and more obvious question is, do these shots work? Well, let's hope so. But if they worked as well as promised, why are both Pfizer and Merck soon to market pills designed to stop COVID in its tracks without a vaccine? The nation of Israel is 98% vaxxed, Pfizer vaxxed, and everyone's still getting sick. What's up with that? That trend is holding here in the USA. Many regions with the highest vax rates are also the ones with the most infections and hospitalizations. How can that be? More and more, we're seeing the fully vaxxed getting fully dead. Maybe there's some other medical protocol necessary for true protection. Cross your fingers or hop on one foot for an hour after the jab. Lots of medicine labels say shake well before using. Maybe jumping around like a flea in a jar will wake up those antibodies. Let's grab a quick listen again to the little dictator down under.
Will there be exemptions? I know you've just said there's a lot of...
No, there'll be detailed consultations, and I'm not looking to exempt anyone. I think I'm in the business of encouraging, and where necessary, through orders signed by the Chief Health Officer mandating people getting vaccinated where they pose a significant risk.
Hear that? The reporter asks Danny Boy about exemptions, and he answers...
There'll be detailed consultations.
What the fuck does that mean? What's a detailed consultation? Well, clearly it means absolutely nothing because dictator Danny Boy says he's not looking to exempt anyone. So regardless of someone's personal and unique health situation, this disgusting pile of maggot-infested rat shit named Dan Andrews is going to make them take it, no matter what. Then that ego comes out. He tells he's in the business of encouraging and mandating. Newsflash for Andy Boy. He's not in any business, and he never has been. Typical of his ilk, the career politician, according to Wikipedia, Andrews has never held a real job. He's had his crooked yellow teeth clamped tight on that government tit for his entire pathetic career. Danny got his degree in politics and classics and immediately secured a job with another lefty politician named Alan Griffin. Wonder if he was Griffin's towel boy or cabin boy. Danny Boy has his own website, and it is a symphony of bullshit. Mostly it's Danny and his family. Oh, he's such a regular guy. He's just like everybody else. Danny and wifey and kids, a wedding picture, all the cliches that kidults lap up like bag of maggots laps up ice cream. In an attempt to position himself as even more a man of the people, Dickless Dan's page says, quote, after finishing school, Dan moved to Melbourne to go to Monash University, driving trucks, selling hot dogs, and working in a bottle shop to get by. Danny's mummy and daddy owned a pretty big cattle ranch, along with other businesses. If Sonny Boy ever drove a truck, or sold a single hot dog, or worked in a bottle shop, whatever that is, and those are big ifs, he probably didn't do it to get by. And Danny's having no problem getting by now, as premier of his very own prison colony. He's collecting a salary of $441,000 a year. He's destroyed thousands of businesses and thousands of lives with his endless lockdowns and capricious regulations. But Danny Boy, like all political scum, gets paid no matter what. Unless or until something really special happens, something truly cataclysmic, something more earth-shattering than a manufactured virus with a 99-plus survival rate. No, something like a nice world war. Does Danny Boy know anything about history? Maybe not. Because history repeats for the simple reason that people, the essence of people, has never changed and never, ever will. And at some point, when their soft bellies are empty for days or weeks at a time due to war, depression, or famine, all of which can be triggered by dictators and the instability they create, well, that's when people can get really fucking nasty. It happened in 18th century France. They had those guillotines slicing 24/7 for guys that had done far, far less to the people than Dan Andrews. The gutters of France were running with blood after they beheaded 17,000. They executed another 25,000 by other means. But you don't have to go back that far in time to see what people are capable of when they feel fucked over by leaders. Besides, all those depictions of French violence, well, they're in woodcuts and pen and ink drawings, and no matter how accurate or graphic they lack the impact of photography. Since it seems globalism has really taken hold, perhaps there should be a global mandate that every politician must view a certain video before they're allowed to take office, whether it's some city council parasite in Los Angeles to a president or a premier. The title of that video would be The Mussolini Treatment. It need not run more than 5 minutes. Show Benito taking power in 1922, when some gutless king appointed him prime minister because civil war was at hand. Does that sound a bit familiar? Then show Benito hailed as a savior, a unifier. Ooh, where have we heard that term before? Show Benito signing legislation for massive infrastructure projects that the country really couldn't afford. But what did Benito know of economics or budgets? He was a socialist fascist. It's always other people's money those guys waste. The video would quickly cycle through Mussolini's years as hero, ticker tape parades in his honor, nation building in Libya, joining forces with Hitler, another famous socialist. But then it would get to the good part, which has plenty of graphic photographs and even some movie footage depicting the end of a dictator. First, they shot him and his girlfriend, but it happened without witnesses near Lake Como, which isn't very heavily populated. They wanted to make a bold statement, so they hauled the bodies to Milan and threw them on a heap in the piazza. There, for quite some time, people spit and pissed on those bodies. Who knows? Maybe somebody dropped a deuce on Il Duce. They also threw garbage on them, shot them, stomped them, even kicked them around the square for a while like human soccer balls. An American eyewitness described the crowd as, quote, sinister, depraved, and out of control, unquote. That eyewitness left out one key descriptor. That crowd was innately human. You piss people off enough, and they are capable of anything. Once they wore themselves and the rage out, they hung Mussolini and his girlfriend upside down on meat hooks, way high up, so everyone could see them. There was no banner, but had there been one, it would probably have said, "Fuck us over, this is what you get." Wonder if a gutless phony punk like Dan Andrews viewed that video, if he'd have tempered his decisions about lockdown and lockouts. Wonder if he'd still talk so tough, beat his sunken chest, be such an arrogant little prick. Italy had a powerful police state, same as Victoria, Australia. Seems they weren't around when Benito needed them. Where could they have been? I was going to turn the spotlight on scum on another leader, not even an elected one, a political appointee, U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services, Javier Becerra. One would assume, a kid alt might assume, a guy like that would have some medical background, but they'd be wrong. He has absolutely none. He's no more qualified for that job than somebody flipping burgers. Well, that's untrue. Flipping burgers is a real job, and Becerra's never had one of those either. Another career politician appointee. But just like Dan Down Under, Javier's got that dictator mojo working real good. Here he is telling us how government gives us our freedom.
We are America. We try to give people as much freedom and choice as possible.
There you have it again. The imperial we. And then they try to give us as much freedom as possible. The government, the givers of freedom. Maybe I'll spotlight Becerra next week if there's listener demand, I will. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. The censorship gets more pervasive and intense every day, so if you like what you just heard, you can help me keep this Truth Outpost operational. Go to thatlarryshow.com and click the Patreon or PayPal buttons and support the show. If you don't want to use those channels, there's a P.O. box right on the same page. There are many who would love to see this show disappear. You can follow us for now. On Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Mastodon social networks. You'll find links for all those also at thatlarryshow.com. If you want to write to me, the address is thatlarryshow@gmail.com. My friends, things have gotten this bad because so many of us failed to vote, to scream, and to act. Get loud, stay strong, and take no shit.